We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back to In the Trenches. We will be joined by a returning captain, Aiden Hutchinson. We're going to get an update on the health status of one Aiden Hutchinson. Also, an update on what the second week of spring football has looked like. So stay tuned for all your Michigan football news and information. You can get it right here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
You get that bad taste in your mouth with that two-win season. And that just fires you up even more. It's like, you know, that's only going to drive us and motivate us for next season, because no one, I can guarantee you, no one on this team wants to feel that same feeling again.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And we are going to talk Michigan football in just a few minutes. But I want to bring in my partner early on in the broadcast, because we have back-to-back rivalry games on the hardwood. And that is Mr. Bush, the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball, Brian Bush. I guess the question is, how is Michigan doing? How's Juwan Howard doing? How are the guys doing after a disappointing outing on Tuesday night? But yet a lot to look forward to, not just for the rivalry games, but the Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament. There's been so much good in this season. I know that one sucked on Tuesday night. What was your takeaway, and how are the guys doing?
This is a solutions-based team, and for the first time really all season, there are a lot of solutions that are needed for what was a tough performance. It was the worst game of the season from this team, and it came against maybe the best team they faced all year. So it was obviously tough to watch on Tuesday night, but you flush it, you move on. I think it helps immensely that as we record this and bring it out on Thursday, that tonight Michigan faces Michigan State not once but twice to finish the regular season. So, yeah, tough one to take, no doubt, but everything's still on the table for this team. A Big Ten regular season championship, a one seed in the NCAA tournament, a long run in March Madness. It was a quick turnaround, honestly. You're bummed out on Tuesday night, but, man, I'm fired up. I'm ready. Thursday night, Chrysler Center, senior night, chance to clinch a Big Ten title. I could almost do a locker room speech as well as John Jansen.
You're getting me excited. I think you could. So I'm not
quite as intimidating as you, John. That's the problem. That's what hurts is, you know, when you say 5'10", 200, Brian Bush, a little different than the John Jansen.
Hey, this is radio. You can be whatever you want to be. Nobody's going to fact check. Nobody can see you. You can be 6'7", 340 pounds of ripped, whatever you want to call it. Twisted steel and sex appeal. That is Brian Bush right there.
Could you imagine if this is what 6'7", 340 sounded like? I mean, you got to have at least a little different sound if you're 6'7", 340.
We can modulate you a little bit. We'll figure that out here. Hey, I tell you what, I know that there's a lot to get look forward to. And if you want to hear more about the games this weekend, make sure you tune in to Defend the Block, which Brian puts out after every basketball game. A recap of that, a look ahead, obviously, to these two great matchups between Michigan and Michigan State, but also an insight into what is going on in the Michigan basketball program. But for now, we are talking about insight into the Michigan football program. So let's get to a little 7 from 77.
Indeed, John. Number one, we will have, as John alluded to, Aiden Hutchinson in a little bit. Let's get some sound from a few others as well. This is an opportunity for fans to hear from head coach Jim Harbaugh, from some players during this spring ball stretch. So for Coach Harbaugh, he was asked about all the changes in the program over the last few months.
Of course, that's what I felt was best for the team. And so I'm not going to really go into, you know, comparisons or all the reasons why, but you know, gave it a lot of thought, put a lot of energy into it, and everything I did, I believe, was the best for our program and our players and for Michigan football program.
John, we have talked about all of the significant changes. Just how different do you think this team can and will look and play coming up in 2021?
Well, in terms of personnel, I think it's going to look a lot different. We don't know who's the quarterback's going to be. You know, offensive line, they're still working on that. They're shuffling things around. You're losing tight ends. You know, it's going to be a new look. And defensively, a new staff. You know, Quiddy Pay is gone. Cam McGrone is gone. You're losing some guys defensively. So it's, but there's still going to be some familiar faces, right? You know, it's, we saw Cade McNamara. You know, we saw bits and pieces of an offensive line that I believe will eventually turn into a very good offensive line here at the University of Michigan in experience, but they're gaining that. They gained that last year. And obviously Aiden Hutchinson, our guest in just a little bit on the defensive side of things. It's really hard, and I think spring ball is so important for Michigan football this year because there's new parts in the coaching staff. There's new parts on the roster. There's an influx of talent with the recruiting class that was very talented coming in. And so there's going to be a lot of new faces, a lot of fresh faces out there this coming fall.
Number two on our 7 from 77, the staff, younger. They've been aggressive within the program and in recruiting, getting up to speed. Here's Coach Harbaugh on what he's seen from the staff in that regard.
It's been impressive. You know, our coaches have come in. You can tell there's a real love for it. You know, getting into the trenches and forming those relationships. It's very, very much so relationship based, and been really good. So, and that's the kind of guys they are. And that's, so I'd say just that, yes, what the philosophy is. I mean, that's what we've seen.
So John, just how vital are those relationships, both with the current players that these new coaches and the former coaches have inherited and the hopeful future players? And what have you heard about the approach from this staff so far in that relationship building?
It's high energy, and I think that's going to be the theme you're hearing, whether it's at practice, whether it's in recruiting, whether it's in meetings. It is all high energy. You've got a young staff. You've got a lot of fresh faces. They're building relationships as a coaching staff between themselves. They're building it with the student-athletes and their players. And it's going to be an ongoing process, but like you mentioned, the future of Michigan football, the recruits, you know, the recruiting class this year. Yeah, there's a couple of additions late, at that late signing period. You're going to look at some transfers and we'll talk about those in just a minute as well. But for the most part, this class was put together. So I think we're going to see the impact of this coaching staff when we start talking about the class that's going to sign in December of 2021.
Number three, the players have noticed a different vibe around the building. Here's running back Hassan Haskins on just that.
It is, it's definitely a different vibe. You know, I feel like this year, everybody on the team just amped their game up and just amped the energy up during practice or anything really. So it's definitely a different vibe in the building, and we can all feel it. You're happy to be here. You're just happy to be around each other. You know, it's just, I don't know, the energy is up.
Yeah, John, we do hear that plenty when a new look coaching staff comes into a program. How can that energy, which no doubt is there, be sustained and transform into wins this fall?
Well, it's got to come down to motivation. What do these players want? What do they want out of their experience at Michigan, of their brief time? And when you come in as a freshman, it seems like it's going to last forever. Before you know it, you're a senior, you're a fifth-year senior, you're going on to other things. Sometimes it's the NFL. Most of the time it's to a profession outside of football. And it's what do they want out of this experience? And if they want excellence, if they want championships, if they want to look back and say, hey, we did this, was our legacy at Michigan, and be very proud of it, they're going to sustain that energy throughout 15 practices here in spring football. They're going to sustain that energy and that effort throughout their time in the weight room and throughout summer conditioning and throughout fall camp. That has to be what drives these players. It's not about, you know, hey, if we win, this might happen, or if we, you know, all this. It's about the day-to-day success and what can I do. When it comes down to it, what can I do to beat Ohio State today? Because if you can beat Ohio State, if you can compete with Ohio State, everybody else in the Big Ten, you're going to be on par with or better than.
Yeah, stay tuned. John will ask Aiden Hutchinson about just that topic toward the tail end of his conversation with him. Number four, great to hear there is awesome energy through the building, especially after a tough season. Here's Brad Hawkins from the Michigan defense on bouncing back from the struggles of a year ago.
New year came, you know, new opportunities came. You know, as a football player, you got to have short-term memory because, you know, you get scored on, you know, you can't keep dwelling on it. So, you know, as, you know, for all of us, and that's for me, you know, just short-term memory and just moving on from, you know, what happened. And, you know, of course, last year wasn't good all around, you know, so we're just trying to better ourselves and, you know, as a team, and, you know, just continue to get better, you know, 1% every single day.
It's interesting. And when we talk about the basketball team, you could ask this question in the short term as well. How do you balance that as a player? You don't want to get down about the shortcomings of the recent or the distant past, but you also want to utilize that as motivation too, as a way to be more hungry as you go into the next season. So how do you balance that?
It's about your legacy here at the University of Michigan. And last year was a very unique season. There were a lot of external factors. Are we going to play? No, we're not. Yes, we are. And then, you know, guys are opting out. You know, you have to hit the pause button. You can't do things or operate anything as you would normally would. But you also have to look at what happened on the field. And as an individual, as a position group, as a team, you have to use what happened as motivation moving forward. Don't ever want to experience that again. And, you know, that's what has to continue to motivate these players. But you also have to look at it for what it was and say, you know what, we are better than that. Why didn't we have success? Identify those things. Work on those things so that you make sure that next year they don't happen. You don't want to dwell on it, but you have to learn from it.
Number five on our 7 from 77 today. Coach Harbaugh also mentioned several players who are stepping up as leaders, taking more of a vocal role. It's early, but you see that every year in spring ball with departures, transfers, etc. We know about some of the guys who have already assumed those responsibilities in previous seasons who are coming back. Of course, Aiden Hutchinson, Ronnie Bell, there are others. Who else from the group that you haven't heard that about before? Maybe some of the younger guys who are now steeped into that veteran role. Who are you looking at for more leadership vocally with how they interact with players this coming season?
Well, I think one that it has to be a leader, and we don't know who that's going to be, and it could be a number of guys at that position, but whoever ends up winning that quarterback job, whether it's Cade McNamara, whether it's J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Dan Villari, it doesn't matter. They have to be able to be a vocal leader as well as somebody that when Ben Herbert says hand on the line, it's not 2 inches in front, it's not 2 inches in back, hand is on the line. And you run through the line. You do all the little things because – your teammates will be looking at you. How is my quarterback doing this? How, Hassan Haskins leading that running back room. How is he going to approach those, you know, those conditioning workouts? When somebody is asked to do something, how will he respond? Your reaction will be looked at. Ronnie Bell, you mentioned him from the wide receiving group. Offensive line, somebody has to step up and be the guy that they look to as, this is how we do it, this is how you get it done, and this is how we're going to do it, continuing to move forward. And so there's guys at every position. And you need one or two, and the more the merrier, that set the tone for their position group. And then it sets the tone for your side of the football, offense, defense, special teams. And then it also continues to build, and it sets the tone for your program.
Number six, you alluded to the quarterback side of things, and there was some news. Alan Bowman, a grad transfer from Texas Tech, tweeted out that he is joining the Wolverines coming up in 2021. What do you know? What have you seen from Bowman, a guy who last season did play some for the Red Raiders, threw at 65% completion, threw for 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and how does that addition affect a quarterback room that we said when Joe Milton transferred, I mean, there's not a whole lot in the way of leadership, of experience there. Bowman certainly adds that.
Well, he does. He brings game experience, on-field experience, situational experience, and whatever you're going to do in that room at any position, it's all about competition. And you never settle and say, oh, well, we're good enough. No, you can always be better. And it doesn't mean that Alan Bowman comes in and is the starter. What it means is he's going to come in and compete with those guys that are in that room and drive them to be better. He's going to strive to be better and compete with the talent that's already in that room. More talent, more competition is always a good thing.
Number seven, our guest today, Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, when he announced his return, that raises the floor and the ceiling of this program so significantly. What are your expectations for, as we'll learn, a pretty close to 100% Aiden Hutchinson on the field and off the field?
Well, what it comes down to is leadership. Aiden Hutchinson is a senior. He's a returning captain. He was a guy that was very vocal and wanted to play football last year. He was a guy that was leading this team until he got hurt, has found different ways to lead, in terms of how he's handling his rehab, how he's rehab, you know, getting back on the field, how he is right now, even though he's not actually getting reps, how he is helping coach those younger guys. You need that from guys like Aiden Hutchinson, who is going to be a high draft pick next year. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of skill. He needs to go out and execute, which I have absolutely no doubt that he'll be able to do. But when you get a guy of that caliber that decides to come back, and there's a lot of factors involved, but the one thing that you know, you're going to hear from Aiden in just a few minutes, and that I know from him, and I know from his dad, Chris, and his mom, that Aiden Hutchinson loves the University of Michigan. He loves being a Michigan Wolverine. He loves wearing that helmet. He loves wearing that jersey. And when you get a guy like that that decides to come back for one more year, it's the leadership that he can provide that excites me and should excite the fan base.
Yeah, looking forward to this conversation. But first, John, something to excite the fine people of Lawrenceville, Georgia. So the city is hosting its first ever Bacon Fest on March 27th. It includes a fun run, John, and the fun run is only a half mile, and it has three different bacon tasting stations. That is, without a doubt, the greatest run in the history of runs.
Yes. See, the Michigan Mile used to be a mile and a half. Now, for me, the Michigan Mile is a half mile with three bacon stops. I'm all for it. I think that sounds great. It's about 0.49 miles too long. Hey, if that's what it takes to get to some decent bacon, I'm all for it.
Your stomach's going to be just fine. Needs a little nourishment. You get it. So I was in North Carolina for a while before moving up to Ann Arbor, and they have Krispy Kreme donuts are big down there, and they have a 5K where you run half of the 5K, and then you're supposed to eat either 6 or 12 glazed Krispy Kreme donuts and then run the rest of the way back. That's insane. This is a lot better.
I could do that one, and actually, I had no idea that that was a thing. I think I might be very successful at that as well. I've been training for that my entire life. I eat and run, no problem. Most people would be hurling on the way back. I'd be just finding my stride.
That's a lot of sugar, man. I know you can put it down, but boy, you start running again. Oh, that's tough.
We call that energy. And a guy that brings a lot of energy, Aiden Hutchinson. Can't wait for you to get to listen to him and the fact that he is back for his senior year. He has made that decision. He has committed to the University of Michigan. He has committed to us here on In the Trenches. We are now joined by the returning senior captain, and that is Aiden Hutchinson on the defensive line. Aiden, thanks for joining us, and I guess we'll start off with the question everybody wants to know. You got hurt last year. How is the rehab? How's the recovery going?
Thanks for having me on here, John. The recovery is going great. I'm about 3 months out from my surgery. I've been practicing in spring ball, doing individual drills. Hopefully I'll be practicing fully in the next couple weeks and, we can finish spring ball strong and, move forward from this injury. But, I'm just fired up about my recovery time. I'm healing fast and I'm just ready to go.
That's outstanding news and look forward to seeing you back on the practice field. And obviously very excited that you're going to be back for your senior year. A tough decision was, that you had to make. Do I come back? Do I declare for the draft? What went into that decision for you?
Yeah, there was many factors for this decision, but the main one was just coming back for this team and being a leader for these guys. We had a disappointing season last year, going 2-4. That's unacceptable in the eyes of Michigan, and I want to be a big part of the reason of our comeback of. Just us coming back and returning to our old ways and, having those 10, 11, 12 win seasons. And I just want to be a big part of that and lead these guys on the right path to success.
You had a big voice. Your family had a big voice. Jim Harbaugh and really all of Michigan football had a big voice in wanting to play the football season last year. When you look back, because you just mentioned that it was, it was unacceptable, it was disappointing. You could put whatever adjective you want on it. Were there any positives? Was there anything that you can look back and say, we were able to get this out of last season, we were able to learn this out of last year?
First, I'm going to start from just a personal perspective. I think I grew a lot as a player in terms of my technique, just knowledge of the game. Every game you're able to play, you're able to learn a little bit more about the game of football and just improve yourself. From a team perspective, we hadn't, for as long as I've been here, we hadn't had that taste of a 2-win season ever. And, the norm around here kind of became 10-plus win seasons. And, you get that bad taste in your mouth with that 2-win season, and that just fires you up even more. It's like, that's only going to drive us and motivate us for next season, because no one on this team wants to feel that same feeling again. So, we're going to come back motivated as ever, and we're just going to attack it, having last season in mind.
Your room, in terms of the personnel, is going to look a little bit different. Obviously, Quiddy Pay's not there. There's just a handful of guys that aren't there, but there are still some familiar faces. I know that last year the injury for you happened in the middle of the season. You had surgery, and it was probably hard to be in the meetings and do some of those things. Now that you're out at practice, even though you're not participating yet, what is it in terms of just learning about the game or the fact that now you're helping some of those younger players that has enhanced your knowledge or just your ability to handle the concepts that you're being asked to do and the techniques?
Right. Being back for my senior year, I've already learned so much, and that's props to, our new coaching staff, having Coach Mack, Coach Oz, having Coach Nua back. All these fresh faces and new minds have shown me and taught me a lot more than I've ever known about football, about, defenses, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I'm just truly grateful for that. And, I've been playing here for the past 3 years, and coming back and, you know, we have a little bit of inexperience, but we do have a lot of guys coming back. But with that inexperience, you know, I feel like I'm a big, I can be a big factor for those guys and helping them learn and just kind of teaching them the ropes and you know, showing them what you got to do to get on that field. And just, I feel like I can just be that guy that people can rely on for information like that.
I know you and Coach Nua are extremely close. I know I was always close with my O-line coaches, and it's very similar for the D-line and the D-line coach. What did it mean for you that there was a big changeover in the staff, but that he was able to remain and be one of the consistent factors from year to year for you and for this D-line?
Yeah, it was huge having Nua back. He's the best coach I've ever had, and I'm just so grateful to have him back, and I'm just fired up to have another season with him just because I think he's one of the best D-line coaches in the game, so.
What was your first impression of Coach McDonald?
My first impression was that he was, you could tell he's been in the league for the past 8 years. You know, this guy is, he's professional. He's probably the most focused guy I've ever seen in my life. Always locked in, sees the small details. And this is all stuff that I've just noticed in these past couple weeks. And I'm sure, you know, as time goes on, we'll discover more about each other, but he's just extremely focused, but that he's got a fire inside of him that, you know, he doesn't show too often, but when it comes out, you know, the guys kind of look around and it's like, all right, he's got that fire. And it's really nice having a D coordinator that's so locked in, but when, you know, when the time comes, he can show that fire and he can fire the defense up.
What will be different for you in this system?
It's a completely different system than last year. You know, just because we got our 3-4 looks now, our 4-3 looks, and I've had the ability to learn so much more about the game with this new defense, and I'm just really grateful that I had this opportunity, but. You know, when we roll out our defense next year, it's going to look completely different. You know, guys got different roles, different responsibilities on certain plays. So, you know, we're working right now in spring ball to kind of, you know, rewire our mind for this new defense. But I like our progress, and I'm fired up to show the fans and everyone watching, you know, what we got.
What's the first week of practice now that there's a full week of spring practice in the books? What's from being an observer, what have you observed from your defense? And I'm going to ask you about the offense in a minute, but just the team as a whole.
Yeah. Looking at the team as a whole, I've seen energy from this team that I didn't know we had. You know, I think that's a big emphasis this year that we're putting on is just having a lot of energy in practice and games and everything. And you can see it. You can see it in our competitive periods. You can see it at the end of practice. Dudes are jumping around, hooting and hollering. And it's really just a different feel than I've had in the past. And, you know, looking at this defense, obviously we got a lot of rough patches because dudes are trying to figure out, you know, what gap they're in or where they're going. And that's normal when you're installing a new defense. But just seeing our offense and our defense go back and forth in practice, it fires me up, and I want to be out there with those guys attacking it. But, you know, I still got a little more time until I can do that.
When you look at the film from, you know, your first 3 years, what do you look at and how do you see the progression and how do you want to see that progression translate into your performance next year?
Yeah, my progression as a player has been unbelievable. You know, I watched my sophomore year film and, you know, some of the plays I see, I kind of cringe when I see myself, just because of what I know now and kind of the technique that I've learned. You look back, it's freshman year, sophomore year. It's a little hard to watch sometimes, but, I'm really happy with my development, and that's props to Coach Nua. That's props to, you know, my dad helping me out a lot, in film. And, you know, my progression has been really good and an upward trend. So I'm fired up to show everyone what I got for my senior year.
Well, I can guarantee you this. You're not only going to look back now at those 3 years, you're going to look back in another 7 or 8 years and feel like, who's that guy? Who's that scrawny little guy? Who's, you know, why is he doing that? Exactly. I used to do that all the time. So it's fun to be able to look back. But to your point, sometimes it can be a little painful. What are a few things when you do get back on the field, whether it's in pass rush, whether it's in run, you know, in defending the run, that some technique things that you want to get better at before the season kicks off?
Yeah, probably the I just want to work on my pass rush, obviously run stopping ability, but the one thing I want to continue to do is just rely on my instincts. And that's something that I did last year and it helped me out immensely. Just trusting in my intuition and going with it. Just don't hesitate. And that's something I put in my game last year, and I really put an emphasis on trusting it and just going. And, you know, I'm going to continue to do that for my senior year, become more intuitive and, you know, just ball out.
When you look inside that room, obviously there's a few faces that are gone, as they are every year. What do you see as the identity of this defensive line, and what are some of the traits that you hope to grow in this defensive line?
I would say the identity of our defensive line is just our aggression, you know. In the interior, we're getting more physical, getting a little away from speed, and we're just going to beef up and we're going to power it, and we're going to power at that offensive line. And on the edges, we're getting faster. We're getting on that edge, and we just want to constrict that pocket as much as we can in the pass, in the run game, everything. So kind of our identity is just our aggression, kind of just our mindset of, you know, we're going to destroy you this play, the next one, and the next one after that. And, you know, that's something that I really feel confident with this D line, especially with this new coaching staff, new techniques. I'm fired up to get out there.
What are you, when you look across the line of scrimmage, what are you seeing from a young, and a little bit inexperienced offensive line?
What I can see is they've gotten a lot better from last year. Just in these first couple practices, you can see their progression. You can see guys getting a little bigger. Those doubles are hitting a little bit harder. Pass rush getting better. Kind of all around the board, you see guys just competing left and right. And our pass rush and the double teamwork that we do with the O-line, you know, dudes are just going back and forth. And that's what you love to see from your team, you know, as a leader. I love to see these guys going back and forth and, you know, just competing every day.
When you're in the weight room with Coach Herbert and his staff, you mentioned the excitement on the practice field, that it's something that it's another level, another notch that you haven't seen before. Day in, day out in the weight room, it can be a challenge. How do you help those younger players? How do you continue to motivate yourself to continue to have those strength gains, the size gains, the power that you talk about needing to you know, play in this defense and be different than you guys were last year?
Obviously, everyone can have that energy on day one, but I think it's all about who's going to show up in the end, who's going to show up end of spring ball, practice 14, practice 15, and who's going to show up with that energy. And that's what this team is learning right now, is just having that consistency. That's what I think is the mark of greatness right there. If you can have a team that can consistently go out there, practice as hard as they can, train as hard as they can, and do everything to the best of their ability and just try their hardest, that team's going to have success. And that team is most likely going to be great. And that's something that I want to try to instill in this team, is just having that consistency day in, day out, to do everything to the most of your ability.
I know the season seems like it's a long ways away, but you and I both know it's going to be here before you know it. Is it still too early to start thinking about Western Michigan and the Washington Huskies visiting Ann Arbor?
No, we got our mind on every team next year. You know, that's something that motivates our defense. We're fired up to get out there. There's no shying away. We're not afraid to look forward at Western, at Washington. We just want to get out there, and first we got to learn this defense, and then we want to go out there and show everyone what we got.
How about that last game of the year, that one against the Buckeyes?
Yeah, you know, that one's always in the back of your head. With this year, we put a big emphasis on prioritizing, you know, Ohio, and everything we do is to beat them. We have a little slogan: "What are you going to do to beat Ohio State today?" And that's something that I think drives our guys. You know, whenever you're lacking, you look at that, and you know what you got to do.
Well, Aiden, I really appreciate it. Best of luck as you continue to recover from your injury. We're looking forward to seeing you on the practice field, and certainly we're happy and excited to see you on the field next year.
All right. Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Thanks again to Aiden Hutchinson for joining us here on In the Trenches. John, before we get out, wanted to make sure we at least discussed a little bit the George Jewett Trophy, Michigan and Northwestern establishing a trophy for the first African-American football player at both Michigan and Northwestern back in the late 1800s. Such a cool idea, such a unique concept. And well, John, I know you appreciate trophy games. There are some great trophies that Michigan football gets to compete for every season, and this is going to be right up at the top right away.
It certainly will be. And when you look at the trophy games, you know, across the Big Ten, there's a lot of great history. And the history between Michigan and Northwestern, the history in the Big Ten, it's a great history. And George Jewett is part of that great history of both universities, of both football programs back at the end of the 1800s. It just goes to show that Michigan and Northwestern, you know, what they stand for as universities and what they stand for as football programs.
Yeah, so the first ever George Jewett Trophy rivalry game will be on October 23rd. Can't wait for it. And John, another successful In the Trenches in the books. Hey, one more podcast closer to opening week.
Oh, and opening week, I tell you what, as restrictions start to ease a little bit here in the state of Michigan and around the country, we just pray and hope that we can get to a full house at the Big House this coming fall. But whatever it is, whether it's 25%, 50%, 100%, we know that, hey, it is a brand new year, a lot of hope, and I'm excited. Couldn't be any more excited to watch these guys continue to prepare for that 2021 football season. Western Michigan, Northern Iowa, Washington, all of Northern Illinois, sorry. It's just so much excitement. So if you want to know what's going on with Michigan football, you stay tuned right here. We will let you know as we continue to build to that week one game here in 2021 here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.